We'll continue on in the series of Jacob's encounters with God that not only make a good message to record and send out, but they're life food for us because the Lord is trying to teach us His ways. And there are always things that the Bible teaches. It's amazing that men and women should have encounters with the Lord. And the Lord has had me go through the series to find what things preceded their encounters, what things led up to them, and what circumstances led to their encounters with the Lord. What circumstances were these lives living through when the Lord came through for them? Sometimes we think God is just a God of the mountain, that He doesn't allow us to go through problems and through stress. You see, Jacob thought that he'd have it good going there. Now we finished off in Genesis 28, where Jacob speaks to the Lord, pours oil on the rock after his encounter with God with a ladder. He promises and makes vows to the Lord that are very, very special. They're very wonderful vows, and you can read these vows. Let me turn to them with you, and then we'll move on from there, Genesis 28. And we were covering his experience at Bethel. Jacob rose up early. I'm reading from verse 18, chapter 28 of Genesis. Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. He called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz at first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone that I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I surely will give you the 10%. Now, going back here, we're going to find that Jacob says to the Lord in a vow that he makes, that if the Lord indeed fulfills the word that he had given him as a promise when he saw him on the top of the ladder in the dream, that if these things materialize out of the dream and spirit world into the natural world, that God would become his God. Now at that point, God had said to him, "I'm the God of Abraham and Isaac, your father." But there is an encounter that Jacob will have in the future that you will remember. I will bring you back to this place and remind you that that is the vow that Jacob made with God, that he would be his own very God. And so Jacob continues the journey with God like many of us, but he was going to a place and he was afraid for his life. He didn't know about the provisions that would be in his life, and he was fearful as to how he would be provided for. And so the Lord had said that he would bless him, he would multiply him. So he says, "Well, Lord, you know, if this is the case, I will give you a 10% of everything that you prosper me with from this day forward." Now, he never dreamed how bad it would go for him. Now, I'd like to say tonight that we're going to consider another encounter that Jacob has with the Lord. And prior to this, the Lord really tries him because he went through some real difficult moments in his life. Sometimes we feel that if you are a Christian and you're walking with God and doing everything right, that everything should be going great. Well, listen, if all hell breaks loose, it's because you're doing great. And it's not that you won't have another encounter with God. It's not that you won't have problems. God was providing for him, but not in his own timing and not in Jacob's timing. There was a season there when the Lord tried him. Jacob, I'm sure, was wondering whether God's promise to him was good or not, or whether he'd ever become his God or not, because he wasn't doing so good. Because he ended up in the house of Laban in obedience to the words of his father. And so here he is, and he's thinking that as long as his father sent him there, that he'd be really blessed, and boy, he'd start prospering from the day he got there. Not. It didn't happen that way. Everything started going somebody else's way but his. It started going bad, bad, serious, bad. All the way through his life, 10 times Laban changed his labor. 10 times every time he began to prosper, he'd switch it, and all that went somewhere else, out the window. And he's thinking, God, are you with me or are you not? Because you had said, I will be with you. And Jacob says to God, I'll know that you are with me if. But the if got pretty iffy. Now, he made an altar to the Lord, and my series isn't altars, but I did give one in 1983 on the altars, and these are some of them. But I'd like us to go to Genesis 31, verse 2 now. Jacob had been there, and things hadn't gone too good. Now, somewhere between chapter 29 and 30 are all the good details that I'll spare you tonight, because most of you know them from reading them. But you ought to just read it so you can keep up with the series. But in those chapters, all hell breaks loose in the life of Jacob. He falls in love, wakes up one morning with a girl of his dreams after marrying her, and it was the wrong dream. It was the nightmare. I feel sorry for Leah because he took it out on her the rest of his life. And it wasn't really her problem. It was Laban is the nasty one. I have a whole message just on Laban, but I don't feel to go that place tonight. But Laban represents those people that God allows into your life to control them for a season, and it drives you crazy when God puts you under someone that's a controlling individual and won't let you out. Now, I said that's a whole message. I gave that one in Argentina. Talked about the Labans in our life and how God will send Labans in our life and send us to Labans. You know, a lot of people complain that pastors are too controlling. Your boss is too controlling. Your dad is too controlling. Anybody in authority, too controlling. Let me give you the switch side of that. God will put you there, and he will not let you out until he says, time to go. And until then, you can't get out. Because God is doing something in you. And the message was in how, and I may still, God may release me to give that too, but we need to understand God's working on attitudes in our life, and he wants total submission. However wrong they have been, he wants total submission from us until it works his work in our life. God wants us to be put in a place where we're under people that are terribly controlling and do us wrong and have the upper hand over our life. And it gets worse and worse and worse. And God does not want us to run. He wants us to stay. I would like to just go on record tonight without going there for a message. But I would just like to say tonight that just on the other side of you not running from under a very controlling authority in your life is the next encounter of God for you. Jacob now was under Laban's control. He was nasty to him. From the daughter he switched on him to every time he began to build a little something for his life, he'd strip him clean and leave him with nothing. He did this over and over and over. And God noticed this. God saw this. So the Lord appears to him in a dream and says to him, I have seen what Laban has done to you. Now, you have to understand that this lad went through hell for a long time. Many, many years. God will not put you under a Laban in your life, whether it's a pastor, a father, a man in authority, a boss, or whoever it is. He won't put you there for just a few days and you can get over it. It's not even a few weeks. It's not even a few months. It's a few years. And if you but run from it, God has another opportunity up ahead, because you're going to have to win that battle over your flesh and come under. Come under. Who are the people that have re-encounters with God? Jacob had an encounter with God. What determined that he had another encounter with God? That one night he laid down to sleep like all the rest of the years, many years, decades. He'd laid down thinking, tonight's the night. No dream. Tonight's the night. And I'll go on record as saying also that God will speak to you in a certain way a few times, or maybe a few more times, but not always the same way. God will switch your ways that he deals with you and appears to you and speaks to you. You see, Jacob was used to God talking to him in dreams. When God showed up, he thought, he thought, this is the way God's going to talk to me. Well, God talked a lot with him through dreams, but God switched him up later. So here's Jacob. Every night he went to sleep. God, I can't take this anymore. Can't take this anymore. I'm waiting for you tonight. I'm waiting for the ladder tonight. Next morning, no ladder. Month after month, year after year, no ladder. When this lad couldn't take it anymore, he was married to someone he didn't want to get married to. He had just gotten married 7 years later to someone else that he really did want. He had conflict in the homes. The brothers were against him. Life had gotten to a fever pitch to where he couldn't understand anything. He said, God, this has nothing to do with the dream and with your words on top of that ladder. You must have slipped. And you can't find the ladder to get up there on your throne again. What happened? What happened to my life? Because this doesn't look anything like what it was that night when you filled my heart full of faith. And I knew you were the same God, my God, that you were to Abraham, you were to Isaac. I was the father of all these nations. Can't even get the right wife. I don't even have enough food to feed him because every time I have a few sheep and lamb, they're taken away from me. Now, this is the circumstance in which this young lad has his next experience with God. So I'll say it again by a question. Who are those that have re-encounters with God? Well, to begin with, those that have had an encounter with God. But who are the ones that have a re-encounter with God? Now, here's another stage with Jacob, and the answer is those that stick it out under authority figures that are like Laban in your life where God set you. Okay? Genesis 31, verse 2. And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable to him, as it was before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, then the Lord said. Now the Lord appeared to him the second time in a dream and spoke with him quite a few things. He tells you some right here and some the rest of the chapter. We're going to pick them all up. But see, here God says to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. Fine way he'd been with them till now. Listen, when God puts you under authority figures and you can't figure it out and they keep compressing you and you've yelled ouch too many times to know how to say it anymore, you can say it in your dreams, in the middle of your dreams. God, I can't take this anymore. It's amazing how much we can take past that point. God, I can't take this anymore. You're not free to leave until God says you can leave. You can get out from under this now. So now, listen to what the Lord has to say here. Because the Lord says, return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. Return to the place of blessing. You've passed the test. Now you may go. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field to his flock, and he said to them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not favorable toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. Now, I want to show you something here for just a minute, because Jacob refers back to it, and I passed over those chapters so that we didn't have to look through every detail. But in a few minutes now, we're going to read about Jacob telling his wife about a dream that God had given him like a year or two before. And God showed him how certain rams would be the progenitors of the ones coming out, and told him what deal to make with Laban, because the Lord had said to Jacob in a dream, God appears to him and says, I have seen what Laban has done to you, and I have seen how he's changed your wages these many times. So now lift up your eyes and notice what these rams are doing and make a deal with him about that. So God intervened with angelic visitation, and whatever Laban chose, those rams would not engender an offspring. The opposite would. So God came on behalf of Jacob while he was still in the problem. I want to show you that his next encounter with God was in the problem. Long before God says, okay, it's time to go, he had victory in the problem. That's what the praise was about tonight. God wants to bring us to a place of faith in our problems. God spoke to him, visited him in a dream, and showed him all these things. So now, when he makes reference to it to his wife, you'll know what he was talking about, okay? Okay, this is what took place. So now it says, and you know how that with all, I'm reading out verse 6, with all my might I have served your father, yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not allow him to hurt me. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream. You see, this was the dream he was referring to, saying, Jacob, and I said, here I am. He said, lift up your eyes now and see all the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. I am that God. Now listen, in the middle of his problem, God showed him what the solution was. God prospered him for a season and then said these words to him. And these are very important words for us. Words we need to hear from God when we're in the midst of the battle. Here it says, now arise and get out of this land and return to the land of your kindred. Now arise. God has nows. I want to tell you that when Jacob left Bethel, he had had an encounter with God, and he went to what he thought was a blessed fulfillment of God's prosperity over his life, only to land headlong into one long hell. That hell sets him up for the next encounter with God, the next dream, because he didn't run. You see, one of the things that God is after in our life, and every time he tries you in this area, he'll set you up for another encounter with him, another moment of open heavens with God. What is it? Integrity and character. We don't give much credence to this. To us, it's just complicated words. Integrity and character is something that God will put you in a bind over and over and over to try in your life and try in my life to bring out what's in there and change it. God's into changing personalities. He's into changing character. God wants character. The more he goes, the character of faith, that when he builds it over and over and over and over and over and comes through for you, and you've had one encounter after another one in the midst of your problems, you come out with a faith that can't be stirred by just any little thing. You come out with a character that can stand the fire. The testing of our character and passing the test of our character and our integrity tried will open the doors of an open heaven on our life. God, what will open the heavens for me next? Not running from your trial, letting God build character and try your integrity and put you through the fire. You see, God was going to accomplish everything he'd said. What God promises, he does in his time. All these years, Jacob wondered what happened with God. He'd never had another encounter with God. He didn't think he ever would after all the hell he was going through. But one day he had a night vision. And the Lord sent his angel, and the angel says to him, look at the rams. Figure out who's doing all this. We're with you. We're working on your side. We're going to multiply you. We're going to make you a rich man. As smart as Laban is, we're smarter. No matter how controlling people are, whatever, God's greater than that. He puts you there because he's working out character problem. He's working in integrity, okay? Now, Jacob, although it's not very clear in the scripture, had really two encounters with God. That was one where the angel spoke to him in a dream and told him about the sheep and everything. But then the Lord speaks to him. This was another experience. Because at first it was the angel of God that spoke to me. Then it says, I am the God of Bethel. Now some theologians feel that the angel of the Lord was Christ. Either way, in an experience with God, he was given the freedom to leave hell, basically. Now, this sets us up for another journey, because this dream and God speaking to him now was the third encounter he had had. The first one was with his father. He had his first spiritual moment through a minister, and God spoke to him through his servant. The second one he had in a dream at Bethel. The third one he had in a dream at Laban's. That's the one we're dealing with. We haven't gone into too many details about Laban, but enough for you to understand that this represents the things in our life that we're locked into and can't get out. And no matter how much we struggle, until we win the victory of faith in that area. And when we do, it sets us up for another encounter with God. Now, after he had an encounter with God, it sets him up for another encounter with God, because anybody that God has forgiven once, he'll forgive you again and again. If God's healed you once, it's a no-brainer what happens if you ever get sick. Because if God ever once healed you, he's going to always heal you. If you ever had an encounter with God, it's a no-brainer. You're going to have a lot of them in your lifetime. So Jacob just had an encounter with God because he stuck it out and didn't run and let God put the fire under his character and work it in. Amen? That led to an encounter with God. Now you see, each encounter with God, something else leads up to it. God's not going to keep you forever with Laban. So now God comes on the scene and says, you can go now. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. You can go now. Now, I'd like to speak to you for just a few moments of the things that make possible. In this third experience, he had an encounter with God because he was faithful and loyal and obedient to those God put over him. Now, again, the Lord is testing him to see if he would do what he said. I don't know why it's this way, but if you notice really closely there where we were reading, God says now. When God says now, he doesn't mean tomorrow, he doesn't mean next day, it doesn't mean diddle-dally for 10 months and then do whatever you think you ought to do. When God says now, he means now. Jacob is working under pressure because the Lord is teaching him instant obedience. With his father, he learned obedience. Now God is putting him in the trial of teaching him instant obedience. He wanted him to do it right away. God says, now, get up and go. Man, he had a lot of stuff to fix up. Later on, Laban catches up with him, with his sons and everything, and he was really mad. He says, how is it you just up and leave and don't even say hello? You know what? Too many times we are so complicatedly locked into protocol and right things to do and wrong things to do that we forget we need to obey God in the specifics now. God didn't say goodbye, have a party on the weekend, say goodbye to all your friends, let everyone know. No, because if they did, they wouldn't have let him go. They'd have kept him a prisoner. And God says, I want you to leave now. Just get up and go. So he grabs everything, wives and everything, on his way. Laban was mad. He went out after him. How could you dare, he says to him, how could you dare leave without even saying goodbye or letting us know? Well, we know why he wanted him to say goodbye, because he would have left stripped. Several things happen. Laban had an encounter with God. The Lord appears to him in a dream on behalf of Jacob and says to him, don't you dare touch him. You are a dead man if you put your hands on him. I'd like to go on record tonight, because sometimes we forget this, that when God tells you to do something, he goes into the camp of your enemies and he tells them another something. So when God says do something, do it, because however impossible it seems, God's already worked that out. He's gone to your enemies and to your circumstances of impossibilities, and he says, you so much as touch him and you're dead meat. Yes, Lord. And he said to him, I'd have killed you if it hadn't been that God told me last night not to touch you. So God said, I am going to be with you, and he was. When he said, go back now to your land, he was. Now, I'd like to just say this. This fourth encounter with God takes place because of instant obedience. The first takes place because of obedience. The second one is instant obedience. That's another school of the Spirit. He had another encounter with God that was greater than any of the others before, because before God had spoken to him and revealed the spirit world to him while he was sleeping. This time it was when he was wide awake. He was walking, lifted up his eyes and saw the angels of the Lord. You know, when you instantly obey the Lord, it opens the world of the spirit to where God appears to you in open vision form and not in dreams. God had spoken to Jacob through his father and said, "You leave and go to Laban's house." Now God is speaking to him and he says, "Go back to your father's house." Have you ever found sometimes in your life that God can be conflicting? Go to Laban's. Go back to your father. Go to Laban's. Go back to your father's. Now Jacob had a problem. The Bible says that he was sore afraid. Sore afraid means he could hardly stand up, because he feared his brother who sought his life to kill it. As far as he knew, that was still going on. But the Lord had done the same with Esau he had done with Laban. Don't you dare. He put such a heart of love in him that they embraced together. Jacob did not know that God had gone ahead of him preparing the way. All he knew is that God had put him through untold years of hell, and now he was sending him back to his executor. I want you to face your executor, and I want you to leave right now. How many of you know God's orders are difficult? But right in front, if you will instantly obey the Lord, heavens will open up to you just like that, just like a curtain that rolls back, and you'll live in open heavens. That's why some people see the Lord. They see the angels. God shows them to them asleep and awake. Verse 17. Genesis 31:17. In 13, God says, "Now arise." In 17, says, "Then Jacob arose." That's instant obedience. Who are the people that have re-encounters with God? Those that obey the ones that God puts over them, which aren't good bosses, and stick it out and don't run. Who are the people that have re-encounters with God? Those who have learned to instantly obey the Lord and not procrastinate when he says, "Go." You know, many people's lives have been saved because God put them in a situation where he said, "Get up right now and leave." And a tornado hits the house behind them, or a bullet shoots the people just behind them in a war. Sometimes God's orders are immediately, and they're not to be thought about. Did God say that or not? I'm not too sure. Was that a spiritual dream or a natural? I should call some men of God and see. Honey, call, but first leave. Then Jacob rose and set his sons and his wives on camels, and he carried away all his livestock and all his possessions, all that he had gained and acquired livestock. When he had gained in the ones he had gained in Paddan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. That's verse 18. I want to go to Genesis 32:1. When he was on the way, after he had had that encounter with Laban and God had spoken to Laban to not touch him, and they parted in peace. Do you remember that they made a vow that he wouldn't cross over and take anything from Laban anymore, and Laban wouldn't cross on over to hurt him, and they made a pillar up there on the top of the mountain. They shook hands and they made a deal, okay? As soon as Jacob, you see, Jacob was waylaid. He left when the Lord said, but he was held up by Laban. Let me tell you something about these people that have had control over their life. When God tells you to go, they don't want to let you go. It's like Pharaoh. Do you remember? Same picture. When God says to Pharaoh, "Let him go," and he finally lets him go, and they leave. They hadn't left very long till he went after him. Because people that have control over your life don't like to relinquish it. But you have to learn to submit and let God work character in you until he says go. And when he says go, get. Now they're going to come after you to try to subdue you again, try to bring you under their control. But it's already dealt with. You don't have to worry about it because God's already sent his angels to them to put the end of his index finger on their nose and said, "You're as good as dead." Pharaoh didn't understand what that meant. So he sent his armies on ahead of him and found out what it meant. It meant just what he said. They were dead meat. Not one of them got across that Red Sea. When God is for you, who can be against you? When God says the time is up and you're free, honey. I'm telling you, you're free. Because God's gone before you and opened the gate and opened the door, and no one can touch you. Walk in obedience. Learn instant obedience. So after this encounter with Laban, who wouldn't let him go, he, like the children of Israel, were on the other side dancing, singing, and having a party until he remembers he was on his way to see Esau. Jacob obeyed the Lord instantaneously, had this encounter with Jacob, continues on the next morning, and when he opened his eyes, behold, angels, the messengers of the Lord, angels appeared to him. They were right there, just like human beings, just like Abraham saw angels in real people. He wasn't dreaming. He wasn't sleeping. And these angels gave him instructions as to what to do. They told him to send messengers ahead of them to Esau, letting him know he was coming and that he was taking gifts to him. That's the way God dealt with Esau. And so the Bible says in chapter 32, 1, verse 1, so Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's camp. I'd like to ask you a question. Do you see this little letter on the end of angels? What is it? What is it? So Jacob went on his way, and the angel, and it has a little letter after the L. What is it? What does that mean? Do you suppose there were three or four of them? Because the suggestion to me, if he called it, this is God's camp, he ran into hundreds of them. That was like Elijah when he says about his servant, Lord, you better open his eyes so he can figure this out. There was a host. God opened his eyes to the spirit world, and he saw a host encamped around him. That's serious business. He's having some serious encounters with God right now. They gave him the strategy. They planned it out. They mapped the road. They assured his heart, because it said that he feared mightily. The Lord sent the angels. Why did he have an encounter with God? Instant obedience. Open the heavens one more time for this man. Are the principles of God any different today? No. He might not do it the same way, but the principles are the same. It's very important. These principles are important because there's people that have a lot of open heavens over their lives and some people that don't. There's reasons for that. God says, I'm not a respecter of person. I'm not the one that eliminates one from having open heaven encounters and others don't. When you walk with God and do what he says, and let him work on your character, and don't run out of the situation, and don't abort. Just on the other side of not aborting is a beautiful child as the reward. Open heavens. My, I was surprised how many open heavens this man had had. Aren't you surprised already how many open heavens this man had? So have we. Tonight we had open heavens. Faith. Those are open heavens. Why? Because we didn't run from the problem. We faced them straight on. Say, God, I'm going to trust in you. Character definition. So when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's camp. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Then Jacob sent messengers. Why do you think he then sent them? What do you think went on? They ministered to him. They gave him strategy. Send messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. I know I'm stretching it a little bit, but if your imagination can stretch a little bit like mine, who do you think the messengers were? I mean, here's these people. He knew they were angels, but he could talk to them. He was right in the middle of them. There was a host of them there, so he just sent some of them down the line. And the Bible says why? Because he was sorely afraid. So he sends them to talk to Esau and tell him that he was on his way. You know, those are the only kind of messengers that could fix the problem. If they were just human messengers, if they were just servants, he would have said his servants. Besides, why would Jacob's servants want to go there to Esau? They wanted to kill Jacob and say, we're his servants. And Jacob says to tell you, they'd be killed. He didn't send his servants. He sent messengers. And it says, behold, the messengers of the Lord were there for him. They said, sure, we've been sent here to help you, Jacob. How many would like open heavens over your life so you count on a whole cap of angels that says, what do you need us to do? We've been sent here to assist you. Well, I'll tell you what, I need help. I said, great, we're good at that. I need you to go out there and talk to Esau, soften him up a little bit. Tell him I'm coming. I need it to be an experience other than lynching. You getting the picture? Open heavens. Let me just point out, if he had not gotten up and if he had not left, did the camp join him or did he just accidentally run into the camp? So why did he run into his next heavenly experience? Because he obeyed the Lord when he said, now, you got to go. He said, I got a whole army waiting for you in exactly a day's journey and you need to start right now to get in the middle of that camp. God's timings are tremendous in our life. Just ahead of an order from God to send you into a situation of distress, of danger, and of difficulty is your next encounter with God. That's amazing. Why did I say this? Because I'm setting you up for the fifth encounter. You see, the first one was because of instant obedience. He sees the angel. I'm setting you up for the encounter of Peniel, where he meets God face to face and wrestles with him all night long. But you know when you have your Peniels, when God puts you in a situation where he orders you to go back into the face of danger and to walk back into a situation that's totally contrary to what your flesh and your nature really want. The last thing in the world that Jacob wanted is to return to the place where somebody wanted to kill him. He was in distress. Let me just lead up to the experience of Peniel. However distressed you might be over the orders of the Lord, there are two things that happen. One, two factors that determine his next encounter with God. One is that God sent angels to assist him. You're not alone. God will send heavenly angels in ministry and helping people around you to help you through your trial. Number two, don't stop walking. Keep going toward your destination. Don't quit walking. Afraid? Maybe. Terrified? Probable. But don't stop walking. Head into the storm. Don't stop. Because just ahead of that situation lies your next encounter with God. You see, the principles are so beautiful in this series. In the presence of the Lord, nice here tonight. Can't you just sense that he's just ministering to you the word? It's not just a sermon. God's ministering the word. He's ministering life. He's ministering principle into your life because he wants us to learn how to walk with him. God wants us to be a people. God called us to be a people of open heavens. Did you know that? God called us to be people of many, many encounters with God. Father, I want to thank you tonight for your word. I want to thank you for your spirit. I want to thank you because tonight, you are speaking to us. And many of us, if not all of us, have found ourselves identified with Jacob, but secretly in the hidden parts of the heart is being born a faith. He not only went through the problem, he saw the victory. I didn't know that you were setting me up for another blessed encounter with my Lord. I didn't know there'd be a blessed reward behind the other. And for those who feel like you have failed, that's all right. He'll give you another chance at it. And when he does, recognize, remember his word. Don't be quick to forget. Remember, tonight the Holy Spirit has identified you with Jacob. It's a life of contrasts, a life of highs and lows, of tragic, difficult, strenuous, terrible moment and moments of glory. For thousands of years, God kept his word to this man and made his children as numerous as the sands of the sea. Prospered him, and in him prospered every single Christian who by faith is engrafted in his family. That same prosperity, that same blessing, those same angels are on your behalf because you're in covenant. You're a child of Jacob. Thank you, Lord, tonight. for your spirit. Thank you. Thank you for breakthrough. Thank you for open heavens. Thank you for faith. Thank you for visiting us tonight. Thank you for ministering to us tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we can't say it's a dead word, but we can say, Lord, help us heed it. Help us remember these principles to stay in the crucibles for our character to be built. Go through our struggles realizing you're not going to pamper us in the struggle, but you're going to be waiting for us as we come out of it with an encounter that will make everything we've gone through worth it and set us up again for our next move of God.